There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Top. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Remember when the NFL Hall of Fame game was announced? They were going to be the test case. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be the test case. We're going to do play the game.
They were going to show everybody how it could be done safely and maintaining, you know, certain levels of safety and social distancing, and they were going to be the ones to kind of pave
this
the
game
way.
Sucks anyway. Remember that film melted?
That was
the paint?
Okay. That was 16 days ago. They said that, by the way.
Oh God. Is that all?
Yeah, you may have thought it was a month ago.
I tell you a week ago.
You may have thought it was 2 months ago. No, that was 16 days ago that the Pro Football Hall of Fame said, we're going to show folks how it can be done. That's what they said.
Oh, you're showing them. Yeah.
Quote from Rich DeRozers, or I'm not exactly sure how to say that, but he works for the Hall of Fame. He's a spokesperson. He said, one of the things we're hoping for and they were willing to do is almost to be the test case for the NFL. Give us the green light and we'll show folks how it can be done safely for fans, safely for participants, and safely for the employees here. We feel very positive about the prospects of this happening in early August. 2 weeks later, canceled. Not happening. Test case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's like hitting a brick wall or like, you know, you're shocked by this. Like, my initial reaction is like, wow, holy cow, they canceled it. But then you look at it and you hear the rumblings of a shortened preseason. Why would you make these two teams report early, squeeze this game in, and then tell them to go back to their facilities and still continue their camps for another 2 weeks till you play another game? If you're going to have a shortened preseason, which this is what it looks like it's heading towards, that everybody's talking about now, two preseason games. Hardy, you talked about it. You'd give up your damn money, right, to call two less preseason games. I wouldn't. I mean, I like football, but
you don't like those preseason games. Separate your paycheck from it for.
I do not like game number four. I hate the fourth preseason game. I hate it.
Oh, okay, but you can't have three. So do you want two or do you want four?
Two.
Me too.
Two.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, take a little hit in the pocketbook for whatever you make for those two extra preseason games and just think about what's best for everybody, for the fans, for the sport, everybody. There's no need for four preseason games.
And don't have that fourth one the way it plays out in the fourth one now. Don't have that play out that way in either of the two games you play. I'm sorry, but I don't believe. Why? What do you mean?
No, go ahead. You're making your point. Go ahead.
I just think that fourth preseason game, we've been told for years that coaches make their final roster decisions based on that game. I don't believe that. I've never believed that. Don't have a game that looks like that fourth preseason game. That thing is complete garbage, and it doesn't serve any real purposes.
Even now,
with the late roster cuts, I'm sorry. That thing sucks.
Beetle, go ahead and have it however you want. I mean, I always get all bunged up for the first preseason game. Like, football, it's going to be back. And then long about, I'll say midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, when they take the starters out.
Yeah, it dawns on you this isn't real football. They really don't care about winning the game. It's more about a glorified practice and executing. And my excitement for the preseason is over before the first half of the first game. So do whatever you want with that last game. Make it about roster cutdowns. Use whatever cockamamie excuse you want for playing whoever you want for as much time.
Macaques-a-mamie
excuse. It doesn't affect me one way or the other, because after a quarter and a half of the first preseason game, I'm pretty much tapped out anyway. Yeah. I will remain focused in on it because it's our job to do so. But don't tell me it's there's any entertainment value to it. There's really not much.
No, but I mean the alarming thing here is that this is all sequential now. You didn't have OTAs, you didn't have workouts, you didn't have passing camps, you didn't have a mini camp. Now, all of a sudden, they're telling teams, don't report until we have regular camp, which has also been pushed back. And now it's official. We've already canceled the Hall of Fame game. What's next? Preseason getting knocked down. What if there's another spike? What if you have 23 guys test positive, you know, once you start up these camps? What's that going to do to the start of the season? This is what I said. I got nervous for football over a week ago. You know, you start – it's we're a month away. We're a month away, and there is nothing definitive as to how they're going to handle this. You know, and we'll get to the first six or eight rows back, and you can put a tarp and all that. What are you going to be walking out as a player?
When you say definitively, though, what are you talking about? You're talking about as a player coming back into camp or back to the stadium?
Yeah.
They've issued a number of advisories and protocols on that.
That's great.
That's what Harbaugh was upset about.
Yeah.
That's what Harbaugh talked about in that interview on the radio in Baltimore. And that's what teams have been internally discussing with the different tiers. I mean, they've got their guidance. What is it that you think is missing?
I don't know what's missing. I just think that the way we talk about these other sports, and then we'll get to the baseball part of it, and you look at the amount of precautions they're trying to take. It's almost, you know what COVID's doing? And I'm going to give Jim Louth said this in our pre-call today, and it's the line of the year. COVID-19 has forced sports to become Jordan Spieth. Just be a freaking robot. Do this. Don't do that. You can't get engaged with anybody. You're not exciting. We haven't had sports. We haven't had anything yet. It's like watching Jordan Spieth play golf. I don't want that. I don't want that at all. I want to go out there and I want to see teams play. You know, I want to see guys dunking on top of each other. Somebody hits a walk off. I want them to go nuts. I want them to, you know, everybody get in there, throw the helmets up. Throw the pie in the face, all that. I want that. That's sports. If you're going to do it, do it. It just seems like it's going to be so weird watching guys come out, look around like, okay, what do I do here? Am I allowed to spit? Am I not? Do I have my wet towel in my pants? Like, everything's odd now. This is making everything odd. And I don't know how the NFL is going to do it. I don't. Because we're waiting here. We're watching what the colleges are going through. And it's a high collision sport. Everybody's on top of each other. You know, you got the huddle. We talked about this with the damn mics and everybody's helmet yesterday. That's not going to work. It's just, you got to let guys just go out and play. I know you can have the precautions and that, but man, at what point are we going to do this or not do it?
Well, there may not be fans in the building for the NFL this fall, but the teams may allow tailgating in the parking lots even without being allowed into the game itself. We'll
see awesome.
The details of that coming up next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We saw a report earlier in the week that the NFL has started to come around to the idea that they may be without fans or may have partial fans in the stadium this fall. And they're okay with it. They're just focused on making sure the games themselves are played. They do, however, expect that if fans are not allowed into the building, they're going to try and show up and tailgate near the stadiums.
Yeah.
They're still going to come to the stadiums. And so with that in mind, they are thinking, why not actually just open the lots and I'm sure charge people a fee, a parking fee, to come into the stadium parking lots and set up socially distanced tailgates in the parking lot. This is what the NFL and some of their teams have started to think about. Tailgating on game day.
That'll be fun in Buffalo. That'll be fun in Buffalo.
When you are not allowed into the stadium. Mike Florio is the one to report it. Pro Football Talk. Per a source with knowledge of the league's thinking, the NFL is already anticipating the congregation of fans outside stadiums that aren't open for business. Some teams could recapture lost revenue by selling parking spots. Likely at a premium, or probably at a premium, he writes, and likewise making food, beer, merchandise, and even programs available. Here's the reality. If people aren't required to stay inside their homes, but aren't permitted to go inside a stadium, they could show up outside the stadium. There's every reason to turn those throngs of people into cash.
Think about that. When you park, say, on the East Side Gillette, for example, I don't know if this is factual, but above, like, the entrance at E1 and E4, you know, the big escalators that go up to the club.
P1. Oh, you're talking about
No.
Stadium
I'm talking about
entrances.
The actual, yeah, the suite entrances there.
Okay.
I think there's a massive, like, TV above each one of those. On the E1 and the E4, you know, like the end ones where the escalator goes up. And they're always advertising, like, what company is there for whatever event. And it's a big, like, I think it's like a big board.
Yeah, it's
they
like
could,
an
they
LED
could show games on that. Yeah,
screen of some sort.
They probably have the ability like to show games there.
Can I ask you a question here?
What?
Why aren't they allowing fans into the stadium?
Because it's that COVID thing.
Oh, but you can have the same number of fans just as close to each other out in the parking lot, and that's okay?
Yeah, do jello shots, like shots out of your navel. Yes?
What's the difference?
There is a difference. You don't think there's a difference between being shoulder to shoulder and being in a parking lot?
Yeah. Well, have fun policing that.
Let me give you an example. Right now, it's okay to drive to the Kowloon's outdoor drive-in movie theater they just set up because they've spaced out the vehicles and the people. They're not letting you into the restaurant right now, or they weren't up until this week allowing people into the restaurant.
So once people are out there for, let's say it's a 4 o'clock game early on in the year, they show up and start drinking at 10 or 11, okay? And once that game starts, everyone's going to stay in their designated parking spot and not wander over and throw a football back and forth and start partying with other people.
Attaboy.
And
now,
doing keg stand.
I believe you're right, but don't tell me it's not different in terms of what the team can say when they announce it. I'm with you, though. It won't last long.
No,
it's not going to last long.
Okay,
and they're
free for all hell
zone.
So come on in for six
bucks. They might get away with a month's worth of games.
Yeah. Come on
paper,
in.
It's different. In practice, it's the exact same thing.
Because people are idiots.
You tell the hammered guy from Malden that's been drinking for 8 straight hours and his pants are falling down, he can't go hang out with that guy over there in that truck. Who's going to be standing between every car? You can't go over there. You have to stay over there by your car. And make sure you hold it. You can't go to bathroom because we can't have a shared bathroom. Imagine that. What are you going to have, the pop-up urinals there? The porta-potties?
Yeah, but the situation's a lot easier. If you can have groups of, say, 50 by that point.
If you have a group of cars, that's a lot easier for like the contact tracing and all that stuff, as opposed to being in a stadium with 20,000 people.
Are you worried about contact tracing, or are you worried about following the guidelines and not having large gatherings?
I just can't do that.
No, but if you have, I'm saying if you can have gatherings up to like 50 people at that point, why can't you have little 50 people gatherings in all the different areas of the parking lots?
Have all the 50 people gatherings you want, but don't do it on the property, because the 50 person gathering is going to be happening with 1,000 other 50 person gatherings, and pretty soon you've got a gathering of 50,000 people.
Can you lick your fingers when you're eating your chicken wings?
I mean, just don't
the ribs and all that.
Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself and say like, oh, all it's going to do, be is pockets of 50 people throughout the... No.
Standing here with their hands
in
their pockets.
You walk around. That's part of the fun of tailgating.
That's a tailgate. Yes.
So you're going to walk around with more than 50 people, though?
It's different on paper. It's not different in practice. Absolutely true. Hardy's nailed that.
I want people in the stands. I want stadium... You know, we all want them full, but I'll take whatever I can get. Wear a mask. You know, if you're susceptible, don't go out. I think, you know, this is...
Well, wait,
is,
this could also be if it's partially full stadiums, though.
Could you imagine going to the NFL game? You can't have fans in it, but you're going to have jam-packed Route 1 of people in cars to drive to sit in the parking lot to drink beers and eat outside of it and hobnob with their friends,
like Hardy,
but
what
you
if
can't
it's,
go in.
Okay,
what
but
if it's 25% capacity?
Okay.
What if it's 25%? So there are some fans in the building, but there are plenty of other fans that this is part of their routine and they can't go in.
Well, you just added a bunch of people who are going to be in the parking lot before the actual tailgating thing goes on, and now you're going to have to determine, well, these people, they can park here because they're not staying here. They're actually going into the game. It's just, look, you're
what a nightmare. What a nightmare.
I think trying to police this thing would be a fool's errand. I think you're going to have fans in or you're not. And to say that you can have fans in the parking lot because that's different, well, maybe they will do that. I say it's not all that different.
Game one in Orchard Park, I would say the entire ESPN set and NFL Network, and I have helicopters ready to watch those tailgaters to see how Bill's Mafia handles this.
Right, for a
place like Buffalo, there would be zero difference between having a full stadium and having the tailgate. There would be no difference at all. There would be a slight difference in Foxborough because it doesn't have sort of that same style of massive group gathering that they do there, but it would still, by the end of the day, be the same thing.
Pittsburgh,
I don't know, especially if there's no... I think it's made worse by the fact that there's no game to go into.
No,
right?
Why can't you have a big screen put up? A couple big screens and have Bob and Zoe pumped into the crowd there.
I don't know what that has to do with how you gather and how you move.
If people can stay at their locations, at their grill, and see a giant screen.
You're going to bring in a movie theater screen? A drive-in movie theater screen?
What's the difference, though? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, Jim's talking about keeping people...
I still think people are going to stay in their groups of people. If you go to a game with 10 guys, right, parking lot... You're going to stay with those 10 guys most of the time.
Yeah, but my point is also that you're going to stay with those guys because you know you're about to join a group of 68,000 people. What happens when you have no tickets to go inside and you all just sit in the parking lot? Then all of a sudden you start having bigger gatherings, people getting together.
Serious question. Where do you go to bathroom at?
Oh, that would be a...
Seriously.
That would be
you're going to have people come here and drink.
I would not want to touch.
You can't come in. You can't go to bathroom here. Hold it.
So
bring your 5-gallon bucket.
The new question will be, you want to go to the game this weekend? I don't know, where are the tickets? 300 level? Hey, you want to go you want to go tailgating this weekend? I don't know, where's your parking spot? P10.
Bass Pro.
I don't know.
They got a nice Olive Garden
P6,
right there in the corner.
I'd go. You know, I mean, no offense, dude. It sounds like a good time, but
I don't know. I think this solves Zoe's issue of finding a crowd. You send Mike and Chuck out there in the crowd with those parabolics and get Zoe's headset pumped in.
You're creating a buzz here. I'm getting a little game day buzz
too much
going
delay.
There.
That wouldn't work for Zoe's call.
Getting
there's too much delay.
Game day buzz.
There's too much delay on what they'd be seeing.
You got P10. Is it going to be so crowded we end up on the gravel, or are we going to be on the paved part?
Where will Beetle be doing pregame from?
Right here where I'm standing.
Right here. Right where I am right this second.
Right here right now. Oh, Jesus.
The station should buy a van. Like the BZ News van. Remember that thing? It was like an RV. The BZ News.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that thing? The mobile newsroom, I think it was?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we should get one of those. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Guys, it's whoever brought up the tailgating. That's one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard. I'm with Hardy. I mean, I'd rather see people. If you're going to allow the tailgating, just let people go in the stands. Because guys, people start tailgating early in the morning. They're smashed before they go in the game.
Hell yeah!
Now you're going to have people watching the game starting in the morning. Who, by the way, don't have to stand in line at a concession to get a beer. They can just sit there and go one after another. And whoever came up with this idea never thought about tailgating, I'll tell you that. And Zoe, you brought up a great point. Get ready to get the troughs out and put them in the woods.
Yeah. I'm serious. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when I read this.
Well, if it's in the
first
woods,
where do you go to the bathroom?
Well, if they're in the woods, you don't need troughs. You know, you just have to clear a path. Maybe get yourself a nice steel line trimmer and just clear yourself a path there into the woods. So everybody just walk that way, pick a spot, and take care of what you need to take care of.
Oh, that's going to be special when all those people who live on North Street in Foxborough have people in their backyard taking a dump. Oh yeah.
All you need to do is find one of those trees. That's going to go over real well. You just find a tree that falls over, and you got to sit over it, and you got to find some leaves. That's fine.
Yeah,
this is a great idea.
Yeah, hi, Foxborough PD. Yeah, there's a guy taking a leak on my back deck. Can we do something about that?
We've got seven other similar calls to respond to first on your street. So yeah. we're gonna have to
$10
get
bucks.
Back
you
to
can commit to take a leak in my house.
Yeah, forget about lawn parking.
Lawn parking.
$10.
There'll be a guy there with a flag. Come on in. Pee in my house. Yeah. $10. $20 number two. Come on in. We got new fans.
Just have a line of Homer buckets set up. There you go.
Get those nice
noodles, blue Lowe's ones.
The
Homer buckets.
Yeah, and you get like your kid to stand out there and direct them to which one, like which dressing room is open. Okay, second from the end. There you go. Thank you.
I would build an outdoor. I'd faction off an outdoor shed. I would have five different partitions.
Waiting in line at the post office. Which window is going to open next?
Yeah.
Come on, which one? Number four.
You just gave me an idea. Maybe I need to put a bathroom in my shed. That'd be nice.
There you go. Right. There it is. 617-779-0985. Tailgating without being allowed to go into the game. That is on the table in the NFL, something that is being considered at this time. There's also some news about how seating will be close to the field if fans do get inside. We'll tell you about that next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Six 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Zolak and Bertrand on a Thursday. If you have tickets in the first 6 to 8 rows of Gillette Stadium, listen up. This is for you. You no longer have tickets in the first 6 to 8 rows.
What?
At least for now, the NFL is going to be putting advertising up around the first, you know, 8, 10, whatever, how many rows they settle on, depending on the stadium that they're in, they're going to be creating a buffer between the field and fans who are in the stands. That is how they're at least saying that they're needing that space. What they're actually going to be doing is putting up tarps over those seats that feature advertising that will be visible, highly visible, on television.
It's like soccer. Or like, remember the Raiders did it, but yes, they had to cover their whole upper deck.
No, but I think soccer has done this down low, though, right? So
yeah, they have.
Down
they
low,
have.
Soccer yep. has had this before.
Yeah.
So NFL teams have been told they will be able to sell camera-visible signage to local sponsors for the first time during the 2020 season. Hmm. That means, under a plan, the first 6 to 8 rows of seating in every stadium, including on-field suites. So those field-level suites in, let's say, Atlanta or Dallas.
Seattle.
Seattle has them, too?
Yep, yep.
Or, I mean, even here now. Wait, think about
it. Well, you got the end zone, yeah.
The end zone now, the club in the end zone is
Optum,
part of that.
Yep.
Optum Club. Yeah, those are off limits this year. The move is to officially protect players. Protect players, right.
See, coaches, that's my point as a player. That's my point as a player. Like, you come out, okay, we're supposed to have full collisions here, put on these helmets, lick our fingers, tackle guys, grab guys, and you're not allowed to have fans in the first 8 rows to where they could come in contact with us as far as breathing. That's scared the hell out of you as a player. But you want to play football, and it's something you're going to have to do and give up, and fans are going to have to understand that. Hey, and if you're upset about it, you have the right to defer your tickets to next year. So say you're in those first 8 rows. You could defer to next year, or else I'm sure they're going to work with you to relocate to another point in the stadium, and you'll still be able to go to a football game. Now, this isn't a perfect world right now. This isn't a perfect situation you're dealing with, but I think they're going to try and work with you as much as they can.
I think if you have those tickets in the 6 to 8 rows, the first, you're going to get moved to like right behind it, aren't you? Like, if you're in row 1,
you would
and there's 8 rows of advertising, you're going to now be in row 9. And the guy in row 9, yeah, he just got moved back to, you know, row 15 or whatever. Like, that's what's going to happen.
I'm sure the good people over at the Gillette Ticket Office really don't have the answers or direction as to what they're going to officially do yet. I think, you know, everybody's still working on that. But the Patriots, for instance, you know, here locally have been at the forefront of this from the beginning. You know, to work with fans so people don't get upset. If you're not comfortable going, you know, you can turn your tickets over and you're not going to lose your spot next year.
No, Patriots have had the most straightforward ticket policy in all of professional sports. They give them a lot of credit for that. There was no BS in their policy that they put out.
Mess around over there. No way.
Unlike other teams in their own league and in other sports, notably baseball, because baseball is the one that's dealt with it, although that's not really going to be something to be concerned about. We'll get to that, though. There could be some fans at baseball. Brad's in Northboro today. Hi, Brad.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One of the things I was talking about is I'm a season ticket holder, and I like to get overserved in the parking lot before the game, and I actually use the game sobered up.
Why would
you actually drive home? I like to get home in one piece. I think what's going to happen is kind of like early on those early Country Fest days, people are going to get smashed. Up, game's about to start. Hop in the car and drive home. I think that could be an issue.
That's an interesting thought. That's an interesting one. That's one more negative to this plan.
Maybe you get
everyone's going to be hammered.
Non-alcoholic tailgate. You know, get the Zimas out. There's alcohol in those.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. There's seltzers and
stuff. Hey, this is a non-alcoholic tailgate. Only Zimas and wine coolers, guys. Let's be responsible.
Do they still make Zima, by the way?
I don't think they do. But I bet we could get – you guys had the big pickup trucks. You guys got those big badass Rams,
yes,
right?
We do. Mm-hmm.
And you could get one of Jim's Power Things, Surge Things, and you could take your Drink Works and put it in the back of your truck, and you could tailgate with that sucker. You could charge people.
Well, the problem is I'd attract a crowd.
Be nice,
I don't want to do that.
I have your answer.
Of course, you.
I have your answer here, Beetle. The answer is right up there with mousekeeping. On October 20th, 2008, Miller Coors announced that it had discontinued production of Zima, choosing instead to focus on other Malternative beverages.
Malternatives. Yeah, they needed to up their production of Smirnoff Ice.
Well,
so
I bought Zima. I bought Zima when it came out because it was cool because it was like in a clear bottle. And then until you had it, and you're like, okay, chicks drink it. That's
alternative.
It.
I just pulled it up on Wikipedia, and it says that Zima is a clear, lightly carbonated alcoholic beverage made and distributed by Coors Brewing Company. Introduced in 1993, it was marketed as an alternative to beer, an example of what is now often referred to as a cooler.
Wine cooler. Bartles and James.
But they still make it in Japan. A big hit in Japan. Sort of like it's David like Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I almost did that.
According to the Wikipedia entry, this was part of the clear craze of the 90s that included Crystal Pepsi and Tab Clear. Zoe, you remember Crystal.
I don't remember Tab Clear.
But you remember Crystal Pepsi.
I remember Crystal Pepsi, yes.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah. And it was weird.
Yeah. That Pepsi Blue.
You know what? You know what has standed the test of time? And I actually have one down in my basement fridge right now. Case of Fresca. Nice, refreshing.
From the 1990s? Yeah, you got a vintage case of there?
No.
Like an old bottle of wine?
Tab went away. Like, Fresca stuck. Like that grapefruit-flavored drink. It's nice. Yeah.
You know who got
you got to try it. I've got this 92 Fresca down here. You know, I'm about to open it. It's been aged a number of years.
Our former building manager, Mark Mingles, got me into Fresca. I saw him enjoying a Fresca every day with his lunch of... reheated a homemade dinner from the night before, and I thought, you know what? That guy's on to something. He's got the answer for everything else in life. Maybe he's got the answer for the perfect lunch beverage, and he wasn't wrong.
Before we get to this date in show history, Sean in Newburyport has something for Hardy on golf. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Hardy.
Hey.
Hey, you're by far one of my favorites, but I got to take it to task for the stuff on the caddies in the PGA.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell me that if you had your wish of all wishes that you wouldn't trade what you do now for being a caddy on the PGA Tour? I mean, I love what you do. That would be my dream to do what you do. But, you know, I don't know what you make it. I never ask or anything. But on salary, the normal PGA caddy makes like 50 to 75 a year just on salary alone, works like 30 weeks a year, and then gets 5 to 10% of winnings from their golfer, let alone being comped the travel and hotel expenses. Are you going to tell me you get to walk around golf courses all day and that's your job and you get to make a decent amount of money? You wouldn't trade that in?
For right now in my life? No. Because you got to be on the road, as you just said, like 30 weeks a year, and it's a long day. Some of these guys... they are crazy. Like, they will get to the course like 3-4 hours before their round. You've got a 4 or 5 hour round, and then they want to go hit balls afterward. And guess whose job it is to make sure he's got everything ready to go? Guess who has to be up before the golfer and has to stay up later than the golfer, cleaning the clubs, getting stuff ready for the next day, doing all that stuff. And by the way, when we have the tournaments, hopefully we'll be able to go this year. I don't know if it's going to happen, but down at TPC Boston, like, I've got it pretty good when we're down there working and we're covering the event. The parking lot that we go to, it's, you know, it's not the main shuttle. Do you know who we ride in with? The caddies. We get treated the same as the caddies. The players get the courtesy cars. Nice. They get to ride right up to the front lot, hop right out. It's the caddies who have to, they get treated like local radio people. It's not a glamorous life. And these guys put in long hours.
Hey, local radio life, very glamorous, Harvey.
why didn't make them wear them white suits?
Yeah,
why
you got to
wear white suits.
You got to wear the bibs. You could probably average, I would say, somewhere around a couple thousand a week, and you don't have a lot of expenses. And some caddies have done very well, but it's a grind, man. I mean, I to do it right now to trade with, no. Ask me 30 years ago. Oh yeah, it'd be all over it. It'd be great. But now, at this stage in life, no, I would not trade places with the average PGA Tour caddy. No.
This date in show history is next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
It's now June 25th. Another day, another Dayton show history. Let's do it.
All right, gentlemen.
All right.
Sorry, I had to fix my mic condom here. I just got a tweet from somebody from Tim, who said it was driving him crazy. It was all rumpled there in the back. You guys didn't notice that? Wasn't bugging anybody else?
I didn't notice that. No.
All right, well,
I don't know. I haven't even looked at that.
It would have bugged me too.
Like T-Bone would say something.
I sent you guys a picture of T-Bone's leg.
I looked at it. I said, pour a little rubbing alcohol in that.
Yeah.
Make sure it's cleaned out.
Portrait mode with some dramatic studio lighting. I thought, if nothing.
Oh, my God.
Nice
it's
photo.
It's a gouge, man.
But it's a nice photo, isn't it?
It is, yeah, great photo.
Why is he flexing while you're taking the picture?
He's not. That's how his leg always looks.
That's at rest.
That's the side of his leg. It kind of looks like the front of his leg, though. That looks like his kneecap, but that's not. That's the side
of his leg. Oh, that's the side of his leg?
Ooh, he's all deformed. How's that the side?
Wow.
Oh. All right, let's begin here. 4 years ago, it was 2016 on 25 June. Zoe driving the bus. Sitting in the A chair, and
what year was this? 2016?
2016.
He was driving the bus.
And took a call right out of the gate.
It's like, Sarge, let's get his phone's open, Jim. Are we going to take some calls here?
Like 10 seconds into the show?
I don't know. Can we double check? This is easy.
This can't be real.
This is easy to do on the iPhone. What day of the week, Beetle? You can look this up.
Oh, I can do it. Yeah.
What day of the week was June 25th, 2016?
Okay. June of 2016 on the 25th. Wait. This says it was a Saturday.
I don't work Saturdays.
Oh. You're right.
Aha.
Zoe was doing a Saturday show.
Maybe the year's wrong.
Okay, maybe the year is wrong. All right, here it is anyway. From some June 25th at some point when Zoe was driving the bus.
May have been 15.
Let's go to Gira. I hope I pronounced that right. Correct? Hello?
Gira.
Jura. Are you... Gerardo. Gerardo hung up. Sorry.
After you welcomed him like that, I can't imagine why.
That's how it was spelled in my screen here. So,
that was a good one.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who else is in there?
Mike Flynn.
Yeah. Can't hear him breathing?
That show sounded electric.
Can you hear the bolts from his neck rubbing up against the microphone?
Yeah. You know what? When you're answering calls, you're supposed to phonetically spell the way the person pronounces their name. Like Gerard could be Gerald, or Gerard. Yeah. Correct? Hello?
Gira.
Are you Gerardo?
Gary. Our 16-year-old boy, Gary. All right.
She was in the movie the other night. She's such a bad actress.
Let's go to 2017. We did a little role playing. Keeping it spicy.
Wait. I was this the lawsuit day? Reading the lawsuit?
Nope. Nope.
Ah, oh, damn.
No. Somebody somebody was.
Because you faking?
Oh, that's that one. That's right. It was a tight end, right?
Yeah.
Somebody was a free agent, and we were role playing the free agency pitch for Paul George. You can guess. And for some reason, Zoe.
This is not going to go well.
No, Zoe took it to a place. Well, you'll hear. What's the best landing spot for you 2017 season?
Now, you know me. I'm a D.C. I'm not Paul right now, speaking as Scott. I love the D.C. area.
Don't break character.
Don't break character. Okay, go back to Paul.
You know what might help you?
What?
Paul George as Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Jesus.
And that way you'll be able to stay in character.
Gotcha.
Okay, so let's start it all
over.
All
right.
Paul.
Yes.
Where do you want to play next year? Paul.
Yes.
Where do you want to play next year?
I think I might go to Cleveland. Cleveland's a real nice city. They have it, you know, on this big lake. They call it the mistake on the lake. And I could live there for a lot of money, a lot of shackles. Yeah, I'm going to Cleveland for 1 year. Shackles.
But Paul,
under that tree,
if you sign here, you're gonna have a team that just went to the conference finals last year against. Yeah, I know you're thinking about Cleveland, but
nice. Did you get a nice ring for that?
This team's gonna be together for a while. You got a coach. Who can actually coach, who actually means something to this organization.
See, I look at guys like Horford. You mentioned Horford. You see, you throw the Hayward kid in the mix. Jason Tatum. Myself. We all can do kind of the same thing.
You couldn't role play as Paul George unless Paul George was Morgan Freeman. And then you could do it.
Yep, for three packs of smokes, yep.
A lot of shackles.
Every shackles. Everything comes back to Zoe being Morgan Freeman. That's what it comes down to.
That movie hasn't been on in a while.
No, I haven't seen it in weeks. Let's go to 2018. Sarge was filling in.
Oh, boy.
And they went back, T-Bone and Jim, and put together a montage of every contribution he made outside of the headlines. So again, he's in there doing headlines, but this is...
Is this when they recorded him, like talking back to them?
No, this was everything that he said on a live mic other than the headlines that day, all rolled into one clip.
Okay.
Hi, Sarge.
Good morning.
Oh, gosh, that was very official.
Already.
4 hours of that. Get ready for that. Do you remember that, Sarge?
No, I didn't watch that show. That kind of goes back to Aaron Hernandez. It just happened last Thursday in Hyannis. A state police trooper was exposed to it.
Right.
Huh. The ultimate smorgasbord call. Cheap shot. First 5 minutes of this hour. Oof. With a stogie. Caller's right, though. Sox did dodge one.
Those are all of his contributions?
That was it in...
4 hours of contributions?
Less than 30 seconds.
Is he dead?
Sarge?
That was a good follow-up to this, like, Paul is dead, Sarge is dead.
You know where he's going tonight? Kowloon, man. He'll be there. He'll be there for the drive-in. Grand opening of that drive-in tonight. Live music, all that stuff. Sarge will be there. He'll have VIP status.
I'll tell you someone else who might be there is Marshall Hook. And 1 year ago today, Both Zoe and Beetle did a spot-on impression of Marshall Hook during a live read.
Love it.
Darn Felger and Mass. You can get yourself a medium cold brew for just $2.
Nice. I think Hook's in again, too. Like, hey, pick me up some iced coffee.
Hey, get me one of those chocolate cherry cold brews.
Yeah.
Right? Get it on over at Dunkin'. Try the delicious chocolate cherry cold brew for a little extra sweet to beat the slump.
It's sweet.
It is very sweet, isn't it? Check it out now at Dunkin'.
But what was that? That was your Marshall Hook
impression? That's the vampire from the Muppets.
It is a vampire.
It sounds like...
Not one, two, the count. Three. Yeah.
Sounds like the Monster Mash headlines guy.
Yes, it does. Yep.
All right, finally, the drops from this date in show history, June 25th. Just a collection of random audio assault.
Cartoons and John Farrell's lobster boat.
So you've got no popping pills, no eating spinach, no snorting drugs, and but that's some of the history of cartoons.
Oh, I don't know why.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand's been brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Oh, what the heck?
Huh, interesting.
Computers.
Tricky thing.
2018.
What? So as opposed to sucking up front and sucking in back. Can I suck a little less up front and then...
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.